Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 1. And I'll read the whole chapter. I apologize, I only have the NIV version with me this morning. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for these truths written for us in the scriptures. And we want to come and meet with you. And we want to hear your voice and help us, God, as we come before you in prayer. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as PSAM will be traveling for about a month or so, as I speak here a little more regularly, I want to just go through the book of Ephesians with us. And about 3 weeks ago, we had a guest speaker in our youth group, and we actually had Tyler, one of our church members, Tyler Self, come, and he's done this before at our church, at the big church. He gave a testimony about the power of the Word of God. But Tyler came and he shared basically on the power of the Word, and he can tell you himself, but it was in university that he really began to understand the power of the Word of God, and it God spoke to him through Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Which if you have done growing in Christ, you should know. But you can't, it's hard to do it under pressure. Wait, God's word, Psalm 119, 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so God spoke to him about the power of hiding God's word in his heart. And so from college, he started memorizing scripture. So he began with the book of Philippians. And I don't know how many books he can remember or he can memorize now, but he started with that. And God has just been doing an amazing work in him and in his family since that time. So he came and he shared that word with the youth group. And some powerful testimonies, and I thought it was very good. I thought it was very inspiring. And then at the end of the message, he had a bunch of Bible memorization plans. He had one for the book of Philippians, one for the book of James, and some Bible reading plans. So he just offered it to the students and said, "Would anybody like to start memorizing scripture?" And No one was responding, so I thought, you know what, I need to lead by example. So I said, I will do it, and so I picked up a plan for the book of Philippians, and then that was Sunday, and then come, Monday is the day off, so I didn't do anything, and then come Tuesday, I thought, okay, I should really kind of start and lead by example, but I didn't want to do the book of Philippians. I had been memorizing a little bit in Ephesians, so I thought, okay, maybe I'll just do the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a little bit longer, but you can kind of, the plan is very simple. It's basically memorizing two verses a day. And then you memorize it and you recite it. And then the next day you memorize the previous two and then you recite the new two. So, you know how it works. So I've been doing that. So I, just yesterday, I finished chapter one of Ephesians. I haven't been doing it every day, but even the days I skip memorizing new verses, I'll recite it in my head. So I keep it in my head. And so I'm done with Ephesians 1. And hopefully, by the end of this year, I'm sure by the end of the year, if I keep it up, I'll be able to get the whole book of Ephesians. And I just want to encourage us. And then, so that was about 3 weeks ago. And then last week, we had the YWAM speaker, Paul. He came and then he demonstrated just another way of memorizing scripture. So in a way, I feel like God's highlighting that to me, and it was like a confirmation that, man, it's so powerful and so important to hide the Word of God in our hearts. So I wrote to the kids, because the kids attended that service. So I said, God's speaking to us. Memorize scripture. And no one responded, but I'm going to keep encouraging them and over the summer and say, hey, if you're wondering what you're going to do with all this time, pick a book and start memorizing. Because I think for me, in this past about 3 weeks or so of memorizing Ephesians, just the power of reciting it and meditating upon it every day, it's just been so helpful. It's been a real blessing. You know, I before the talk by Tyler, I would never have even attempted memorizing a book of the Bible. I had some scripture verses memorized, but I think there's a lot of power just because you're reading it every day and you're meditating upon it, reciting and thinking about it. So I feel like the depth of understanding I have, especially for this chapter, is greater than any other, honestly, I think it's greater depth than any other book that I've ever studied or read in my whole Christian life. So I really want to encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, to just take upon that challenge. And it's not that difficult. It takes me about 10 minutes a day to memorize those two verses, and then maybe 5 minutes to kind of recite the whole thing. And you can do the reciting anywhere, right, on your commute, when you're going to the bathroom. I mean, it's just, it's all in your head. So I want to encourage you to do it. But, so as I memorize Ephesians, I would like to share some of the things that I feel like God's speaking to me through this passage. So if we just turn to verse 1, just want to turn to verse 1 and 2 this morning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. You can stop there. And Paul, that's a common introduction that Paul gives of himself when he writes a letter to the people that he is writing to. And he says, Paul, writing about himself, and he says he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And so something for us to think about is Paul knew what he was called to be, right? Paul knew that he was called as an apostle of Christ Jesus, that it was by the will of God that he came, that he became an apostle, and he served the church and served God as an apostle. So my question to us this morning is, do you know what you're called to be by the will of God, right? Is it, do we even have that paradigm, you know, that God has called us into something that is greater, that you're not just here in Hong Kong as an accident, right? That you didn't just, even if you feel like you came back to Hong Kong for a job, or you came, moved out here for a job or whatever, that you're not here by accident just to make money and be successful and be promoted and have a comfortable life, but that God has called you into something, you know? That God has called you, that you are in your workplace by the will of God. You know, that you are a part of this church by the will of God, and it is not an accident. And I think it's important for us to recognize what it is that we're called to be. I was reading for my pastoral care class. I've been reading, and one of the sections, the author was saying, as pastors, you need to have a pastoral identity. Like, you need to be able to understand and see that you have been called as a pastor, because that gives you authority. That gives you the ability and the authority to speak into people and to operate in the role of a pastor. That's different than if you didn't have that identity about who you were. So in your workplace, if you can recognize that you have been called not just to be successful and make a lot of money, but you have been called as a light into this world, right? We're called as a holy priesthood. So if you can see yourself as called to be in your workplace, not just to do your work, but as a full-time missionary, right? We know that we teach that at SP, that every person is called to be a light, called to be a missionary into this workplace by the will of God, then you will see, man, I have the authority, I carry the presence of God, I carry the authority of God to build God's kingdom. Right? We were talking about seeking God's kingdom in our GIC class just a few weeks ago, and how seeking God's kingdom means you're trying to build the kingdom of God wherever you go, and giving the world a taste of what the kingdom of God is like. That's what we have been called to as a church, giving the world a taste of what the kingdom of God is like. That means when you walk into your workplace, that might be a kingdom of darkness operated by greed or whatever the case might be, but you're trying to show what the kingdom of God operates in a different principle. And you're trying to demonstrate to them, give them a foretaste of what the kingdom of God is like, because the kingdom of God is eventually coming. So we're saying, hey guys, come into the kingdom. Let me show you what it's like. And by the way you live your life, the values that you have and the decisions that you make, the way you make your decisions, you're showing to the world the kingdom of God operates on a different principle, on different values, and I want to show you what that's like. And I think, to be honest, it's much easier to be in full-time ministry than to be in the work marketplace, you know. So I want to really encourage you to continue. You know, I don't think it's, because for me it's a little easier to say, yeah, Nate called as a pastor of Solomon's Porch by the will of God. And for me it's clearer, like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. This is the work of God that I've been called to do. But I think in the workplace, it's much, much more difficult, you know, and I can see that, and I admire you for it. And I have great respect for you guys that hold on to the faith that you have in Christ Jesus and the calling that you have in Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage you to really step out and recognize yourself as being called by God for a greater purpose than just being successful. Then he goes on to say, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's saying, this is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To whom? To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I want to say we are God's holy people, right? The Ephesian church, Paul calls them, you are God's holy people. And I think we need to recognize that as a church, if someone were to write a letter to us, they would say, to God's holy people in Solomon's porch, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And it's special that we are a called out people, you know, and we are called to be holy, to be sanctified for the Lord. And there's a sense of this family. We are God's holy people in Solomon's porch that God has somehow brought together. And I like this sense of family, this sense of unity that we can see from this short verse. And it says, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And these guys remained faithful in Christ Jesus. They remained faithful to God. And I think it's important for us to be faithful in Christ Jesus. We often sing about the faithfulness of God. And we say, God, we thank you that you're so faithful. But I think the flip side of God's faithfulness, we're also called to be faithful in our walk and in our obedience and in our pursuit of God. Because he's such a faithful God, we should also seek to be faithful, right? Instead of being swayed by the temptation or by whatever is pulling us away from the Lord, but we need to maintain and remain faithful in the Lord. And you know how PSM often tells us the two pearls that God gives to the church. The first is a passion for his name. And the second is the ability to feel and receive his affection for us. And I think, I mean, I have no right to add another pearl to it, but I think if I were to add something, I think the ability to be faithful in our Christian walk is also something that God grants to us. We can't do that on our own. We were too weak and we are too distracted. Like the famous song, Come Thou Fount, where it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I think it's true. We are prone to all these different vices and all these different sins and all these different things that pull us away from God. So it is God's grace for us to be able to maintain our faithfulness and to remain faithful before the Lord. So praise the Lord that he has helped us thus far. And may God continue to help us in our walk with him, that we would remain faithful. That at the end of our lives, God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I think that would be just very powerful, you know, at the end of our life when he looks at us and he says, you have been faithful. I know it was difficult at times. You were tempted in many ways. And there's a beautiful song by Delirious, old school song from their first album, Cutting Edge. And I mean, I love this group, Delirious. You know, they sing, if you've never heard of them, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever is written by the band Delirious. And they have a beautiful song where it's a metaphor for Christian life. And it talks about this person that is so weary and tired and they've tried to live this Christian life faithfully and they're so tired and they're so weak and they're almost, they want to give up. And then they come before God and then it says God takes his sword, right? And then he puts the sword on his right shoulder and left shoulder. Basically the picture of knighthood, right? Where he comes and kind of recognizes you, that you have been a good soldier. And he appoints you as a knight. And it's just so powerful. I've listened to this song many times, especially when I'm down or when I'm tired or when I feel like giving up. I will play that song and I'll remember that, man, God sees what I'm doing, right? God sees your faithfulness. When it's difficult and when you feel like nobody understands and you feel like your family doesn't understand, your friends don't understand, but God will see that you are trying your very best to be faithful and he will recognize you for that. So I pray and encourage you to be faithful. And the last one, verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a common greeting that Paul offers to his people, but I just want to say peace. I think that's often what we really want in our hearts. I remember talking to a friend long time ago at church and just asking, hey, do you have any prayer requests? And he would always just say, I just want peace in my heart. You know, I just want some peace. And I think that's true. I think many of us, if we really came down to it, it's not, we're not even worried about the situations of life. The why the situations get to us is because it takes away the peace. If we could maintain peace in our hearts through whatever we go through, then I think whatever we face, it's okay. We'll be able to face it and we'll be able to go through it if we had some peace in our hearts. And Paul offers them peace. You know, and I think that's probably what most of us really want anyway. We want to have peace in our hearts. We want this sense of knowing that everything's going to be okay, that God is walking with us, that there's nothing for us to fear. So let's turn to the Lord in a song. Andrew is going to come and lead us in worship. So let's just turn to God and invite Him to come and speak to us. Holy Spirit, if there's anything that you are calling our church members, God, in their workplace, in their family, in our church, as house church leaders or leaders of different ministries, may they really have a strong sense, as Paul did, that they are called into this position, into this role by the will of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant us the ability to be faithful in our faith, God, in our Christian walk. And thank you that you recognize our faithfulness. And I just pray for the peace of God to be over our church members here. I just bless them with your grace and your peace and your presence, God. And come, Lord, we invite your presence here. Yes, God, thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, that you have demonstrated your faithfulness, God, in so many ways, and help us to be faithful as well, God, before you, God, in response to your faithfulness, God. Thank you. Let's turn to our prayer focus. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for the faithfulness of God to be manifest in their lives, that they'll be able to find God in this time, and God will come and in a powerful way bring healing to many of our friends on this list. Let's pray together. Let's pray for other people that are going through illnesses, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray that they would encounter God. Let's pray for divine appointments, and that they'll have many opportunities to hear the gospel as well. So let's pray for our friends on this list. Let's turn to our third slide. Pray for various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's just pray for healing. Let's pray for strength for them. Let's turn to slide 4. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's just pray for God's provision, God's favor. Let's turn to Tuesday, prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our city that God has brought us to. Let's pray for this, the government of Hong Kong. Let's pray regarding the wealth gap here and in injustice here, and just pray for God's righteous rule to be established here. Let's pray for revival in this city. Let's pray for the churches to be on fire, to be united, and to really be blessed by God. Let's pray for all these different ministries, that God would watch over them and anoint them and give them strength and provide for them. So let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the staff. So Pastor Sam is away for about a month. So just please pray for him, that he would have a great time with his family, that he would come back refreshed and rested. Let's pray and cover him. And let's really bless him with our prayers. Please pray for the rest of the staff and their family members, that we would be able to work hard and work well together. Pray for unity and pray for anointing and just the wisdom and leading of God. So let's pray for the staff together. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and media team. Pray for heart of worship, heart of excellence, and the ability to really give attention to everything that's going on. So let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for our arts team. Let's just pray for creativity and pray for the spread. And let's just pray that they would have new ideas as a ministry to see how they can be a blessing to our church. Let's just lift up our Arts Anonymous ministry. Let's pray for Kupang, the Indonesia mission trip that's coming up, led by Pastor Salamat. Let's just pray for Pastor Salamat and the team, that they'll have a wonderful time. Let's pray for anointing and protection and just good team unity and all the details. Let's just lift up this team. Thank you, God. We worship you here. We love you, and help us just to connect with you, God, and to hear your voice as we come into your presence. And I thank you for your grace. I pray, God, for the grace and peace from God our Father, for all of our church members here, that throughout the day that we would have the peace of God in our hearts. The peace that transcends circumstances and our understanding, Lord, that would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And thank you that you're walking with us today. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.